On Sunday, I received a second late-night call, but this caller, unlike Rudy Schmitz, at least apologized. "Mark, it's Genevieve. Genevieve Corson from Mingo House. Please pardon the intrusion, especially at this hour, but I need a small favor. I'd like to show you a little something from school, related to my internship." She hesitated. "I mean, you're a writer." I tried, unsuccessfully, to censor my yawn.
"Okay."
"Come by Mingo House early, before the trustees' meeting tomorrow. Come at 6:15. Dorothea is off. She's at a wedding in Edgartown, so I'm manning the fort. I'll be there late." I nodded, and then realized sleepily that she couldn't see me. "Sure. No problem."
"Was that Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer?"
Roberto said, in a perfect imitation of Rudy's voice, which he had experienced only via voicemail.
"No, just that ditzy docent."
I spent the next afternoon on our balcony, writing fresh material for my stand-up act. It was a warm, pollen-filled day, so, unusually for me, I consumed a couple of beers along with my salmon burger and spinach and endive salad. By the time I changed into business attire, I had a subtle buzz. I pushed open the front door to Mingo House. No lights were burning, so the rooms were shadowed, blurry. I realized then that there was a window thrown open toward the rear of the house because a humid breeze was trespassing through the rooms.
"Hello? Is anyone here?"
I saw the walnut staircase ascending to my left, and at its base, on a plinth, the marble bust of Corinth Hollis Mingo, like something summoned during one of Clara's seances. On a shelf in the dining room, a bohemian glass decanter glowed red as a vial of freshly drawn blood, and nearby, at the dining room table, sat the mannequin, now fitted with something lavish, a dress, a ball gown, made of celadon green bunched silk. Had they gotten a grant to buy some period clothing? The floor creaked as I walked down the hall. Then, in the dining room, I detected a scent, something differing from the odor of dusty velvet or oriental rugs. It was a modern perfume, one I remembered from a sample card bound into an issue of Vanity Fair. The perfume seemed to be emanating from the mannequin, whose plaster features had become detailed, but not lifelike. There was no life in those liquid brown eyes, in the corpse in Victorian dress, slumped in the rosewood rocker. For an instant, I couldn't move. I felt bolted to the spot beneath the portrait of the doomed Mingo triplets.